So my first question is just how familiar do you consider yourself with Tlingit culture, and in particular the Kiksedi clan?
I am Kiksedi Yeti. My father is Kiksedi. I was adopted, if you know anything about the culture, you follow your mother. My mother was Aleut. My mother was transported down here during World War II. And so to practice the Tlingit culture, and with my father's people, my Aunt Marge and all of my relatives here, they adopted me. And I grew up with my grandparents and my aunts, and so I'm very close to my culture.
Oh, great.
And Kiksedi.
And your last name, your maiden name was Hutchinson?
No, it was Bradley.
Bradley, okay. Great. Mm-hmm. Excellent. And were you raised in a traditional Tlingit household?
We were pretty much assimilating. Mm-hmm. I was raised in a nice home with my grandparents. It was considered a white home, I think.
Okay.
It was not a cultural, like a tribal house home. Mm-hmm. It was just a regular. The house was actually across the street from where City Market is. It was where Century Hardware is.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Were you around the language at all, or dancing, drumming of any kind?
Yes, I was with my my grandparents. They knew their culture. Unfortunately, the language was used to talk about things that they didn't want me to hear. So they didn't encourage me to learn the language.
I see.
And we were, of course, assimilating by them.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really sad. So I'm sure somewhere up here I have those sounds.
Right.
But I have tried to learn a language. I can sing the language.
Oh, yeah.
I can count. I can do, you know, simple mm-hmm. phrases, but right. I never did learn the language.
I took a Tlingit 1 elementary class through Sitka last semester.
Oh.
One semester isn't enough to learn a language, but it was very difficult. But I learned a lot, you know,
mm-hmm.
because a lot of the culture comes through the language, you know. Just hearing things the way that they were once said gave me a sense of just traditions that were long held. You know?
Yeah. Even knowing anything about learning a different language, I think you appreciate the fact that things are lost in translation.
For sure.
Which is sad.
Right. Now, you said it was your mom that was Aleut?
Mm-hmm.
And what was your dad's clan?
Kiksedi.
He was Kiksedi. Okay, so you're Kiksedi Yeti, meaning your dad came mm-hmm. from the Kiksedi clan.
Nanya Ai Deshan. My grandfather was James Bradley, mm-hmm. and so I am a grandchild of the Nanya Ai. Nanya Ai Deshan.
Very cool. Neat. So, what... How can you describe the relationship of the Kiksedi to their crest, the frog?
When people adopted and acquired their crest, it was usually done because of some significant occasion or event that happened, and the Kiksedis of Wrangell were traveling on the Stikine River, and they were lost in the fog, and they were lost on the river, and a frog came and led them to shore. Hmm. And so they adopted the frog as their crest, and that frog led them to a rock called the Kix. The rock was called Kix.
Oh, nice. And is
so
the rock
it was
local?
Kix at the on the Stikine.
On the Stikine.
The Stikine.
Okay. Do you feel that appreciation to that original frog exists still today?
Yes, we pass it on to our children. We give them that story to because our culture is oral, and we let them know where they got that name from and why the frog is important to us.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel that modern frogs continue to help the clan in any way?
The significance of the frog, I think, was in the Tlingit culture, the whole Tlingit culture, the frog was revered as a holder of wisdom. Mm. They were revered as holding the wisdom of the tribe. And so they were revered by the Kiksadi people, and those who used the frog as their clan symbol were considered holders of the culture.
And do you feel that the attributes of the frog, like wisdom, come through the people as well? The people would hold wisdom because they have the frog as their crest?
I would like to think so. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's actually practiced that much anymore. But it's something that we are aware of and try to portray.
Okay. Do you think that ancestors can speak through animals such as frogs?
I think the legends and the symbols and the animals that are represented in those legends can speak volumes of wisdom to the people.
Do you think that the relationship to the frog tells you how to treat those animals?
Yes. But I see that in all of the symbols of clans in the Tlingit culture, like the eagle and the raven. Give a lot of wisdom and help us educate our young about why, you know, why we revere the animals and the land and other people. So I don't think it's just one clan that is more important than another.
I see. If somebody were to harm a frog, do you think there would be repercussions?
Us Kiksadis feel that way, yes. We're we're appalled that people eat frog legs. And try not to impose our own culture upon other people, but refrain from eating frog legs, at least.
Right.
Never developed a taste for them anyway, so it's no big thing for me to give them up. If you go down to the... if you've been in the tribal office down...
Yes.
You can see our frog legs down there. They're up on the shelf.
Oh, I'll have to take a look.
Those are our frog legs.
Great. And so when you see a frog depicted on a totem or...
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
This is my husband.
I think we met briefly before. I was here with Ken to borrow your truck.
Yeah.
We're just doing an interview for school.
The other kid's in a red pocket on the porch.
Okay.
So my next question is, when you see a frog depicted on a totem or on regalia or some cultural artifact, do you feel the same sense of importance that you would with seeing a frog in the wild on the landscape?
I see it differently.
Can you explain it?
The frog that's represented
by the clan symbols on blankets and any artifacts have a more cultural value to me than to see a frog in the wild. I would stand aside, or I would stop. You know, if I was driving a car, I would stop and let that frog cross the road, or, you know, do what I could to keep it from harm. But the different frog, there are so many different varieties, species of frogs that I think the one that is symbolized by our clan is a bullfrog. I'm pretty sure.
I'll show you a picture here if you don't mind. But bullfrogs actually, it surprised me when you said that, and I'm not saying that's wrong, bullfrogs are traditionally from the southern part of the United States, and they've been moved recently.
Oh, really?
Yeah, to different parts.
Hmm.
Now, when I look at Marge's boat that she has at the museum,
mm-hmm.
she has, well, unless somebody stole my frog pictures. Let's see here.
I've often wondered which, but somebody told me that it was a bullfrog, so I might have been misled.
Well, see, the problem is bullfrogs, when they move into an area that they're not naturally from, they're a very large frog,
mm-hmm.
and they're very aggressive. So they'll eat the other frogs, and they'll also, their tadpoles will kill other tadpoles. So then they kill the native frogs from an area. This here is a boreal toad. And when I look at a lot of the local art that shows frogs, I often see the boreal toad because, such as the blanket, has this white stripe down the center of its back. And that's also seen on the blanket. And then the bumps, it's real rough on its back.
Uh-huh.
And you can see those bumps on the blanket as well, and on some of the totems. But this is a native frog. There's two others that we have locally, the wood frog and the Columbia spotted frog.
I don't recognize a stripe in the art.
I see. Yeah, I guess it might be something just to keep an eye out for and see if you start to see patterns that look like certain frogs. But it would be interesting. I know that, you know, the Tlingit traded pretty widely up and down the coast, that they could have seen frogs elsewhere or brought them from elsewhere.
But this, according to the legend that is attached to the frog that saved the people on that canoe,
mm-hmm.
it was a local frog. It was on the Stikine River, so.
The very large frog that we have, then, is that boreal, the boreal toad that lives up there. So it might be.
Yeah, it would be hard to trace.
Yeah, I'm sure. And I've noticed, because I've traveled down, I worked with the Salish in Vancouver.
Yeah.
And I really want to go to Haida Gwaii, too, but I was over in Heidelberg, and the pictures of the frogs change as you go down the coast, because
mm-hmm.
they're different frogs that people have seen.
And if you look at the frogs that we use, our frog, his head is up. And some of the other frogs that are used by other clans, their head is down.
Mm-hmm.
But our head is up, and most of it.
Yeah.
At least that's what I was told.
Right. That's what I've seen, too, locally. Now, is it the same in Sitka with the Kiksuddy? Do you know?
I think their frog is down.
And is it a different story of when they acquired the frog, do you know?
I think it is. I don't know. I don't know if you could call it a characteristic, but one of the natural traits of Tlingits is we do not talk about other clans. It's not our place to talk about other clans or where any of their
stories.
Stories.
Okay.
So we wouldn't.
Okay. So a lot of the other ladies, you know, they'll refer to themselves as the frog women, and I've heard stories where a certain frog, they feel that an ancestor has been speaking through it. Do you feel a close connection with the animal itself?
Like I said before, as it pertains to the legend, yes.
Okay.
I wouldn't revere just any frog I saw.
Okay.
It pertains to the legend.
I see. And in terms of treating the frogs, you know, a lot of kids will move them, they'll go looking for them, or they'll bring them home as pets for a while. Do you see a problem in that, or do you think that that's okay?
It makes me kind of squeamish.
Okay.
Yes. I'm like... And they use them in carnivals and stuff, and I'm like... And we aren't aware when they're doing it, because it's like the Catholic Church or Episcopalian. Mm-hmm. And my relatives will come home and go, I got, look how many frogs I got. Like, oh, God. Well, I hope you take good care of it and don't abuse it.
Right.
You know, because any frog, I feel respect for, but mainly it pertains to the legend, the reverence we have for them, I think.
Okay. And do you think that the local people have a responsibility to care for the frogs that occur locally?
Yes, most certainly. But I see that as scientifically significant because from what I've read, I know that the health of the frogs in any locale can show the health of the whole environment in that locale.
Right.
And it's one of the first signs that there could be something wrong, and so I think it's important that we pay attention to what's going on with that frog population.
Right. And do you think the Kiksuti would be impacted culturally if frogs died off or failed to occur nearby?
I think we would notice it, and yes, I think it would impact the Kiksuti. We would be very leery about what's going on. Why is this happening? You know, mm-hmm. Because it is our symbol. And yes, I think it would impact our culture. Of the significance, not only knowing the scientific value of the frog, but the cultural value of what that frog symbolizes as a keeper of wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you said that you haven't really seen in your lifetime a lot of frogs around. Do you remember a couple of the times that you have and where that was?
Closer to out at Pat's Lake. I've seen them on the ground out there. Mm. maybe when I was younger, I used to go up the river with my grandparents, and I remember picking berries that were called yellow clouds, and they grew on the marsh, mm-hmm. And we would occasionally see frogs.
Oh, how long ago did you see them at Pat's Lake?
Oh, 10 years ago, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I'm always inquiring because I'm very interested in the health of these frogs because
right.
of the significance to the environment.
For sure. How about salamanders? Have you seen any of those?
No.
Or newts?
No.
Okay.
I'm not very observant.
No, I mean, you have to really be looking for them to
yeah.
find them. I worked on the Kenai last summer looking for frogs, and we found a lot of frogs.
Oh.
You know, probably thousands.
One species, or?
Just one species in that area. But a lot of people said, there's frogs down here? You're looking for frogs? I never see frogs. I said, well, I saw hundreds today. The thing is, you have to be looking for them, for one. And they tend to be around ponds that don't have fish. Because the fish will eat the tadpoles, they'll eat the eggs.
Oh.
And so they lay their eggs in fishless ponds.
Oh.
And most people are going to ponds that have fish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's part of it. But yeah.
Huh.
And the more that I've been around, people seem to be seeing them more often now because they're starting to look for them. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And made us more aware.
Right.
Which is good.
So, I guess just a couple more questions. Regarding the Kiksuti, I'm wondering what you think some of the modern strengths of the clan are locally, and what are some of the challenges that you are facing?
Well, us Kiksuti women are considered very strong and good leaders in the community. There's not only the Kiksuti, but the Kachedi also are here, and they're very close to us also. I know Carol and Chissa Kachedi in a book, and then Minnie Calkins and them are Kachedis also, and they're very close to the Kiksuti. They were historically high class. The Kiksuti were high class. Mm-hmm. My grandfather was Nanya Ai, which was a leader of the tribe, and my grandmother was Kiksuti, which was very high class raven.
Would you say that the Kiksuti was the highest raven class traditionally in Wrangell, and the Nanya Ai of the eagle then?
That's what I was taught.
And so, the birds, the moiety symbols, do you feel that the frog is equally important to you as the raven?
I have never put a value on them that way.
Okay.
That one is more important than the other. For identification purposes, personally, the Kiksuti would be more important. But it's just as important to be a raven.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's pretty much all of the questions that I have. But if there's anything else that you'd like to add, or anything that's really important to you in identifying as Kiksuti Yeti, I'd love to be able to include it. And it's okay if there's not anything else.
Well, I think that as a child, being raised by my grandparents and who they were, and they were well aware of who they were when they raised me, they gave me a lot of pride in my culture and pride in who I was, and the importance of my clan, and consequently it was very important for me to be adopted into the Kiksuti clan. Unfortunately, my mother never returned to Unalaska, and she did not share that much about her Aleut culture with us. Hmm. And none of us have returned to Unalaska or Dutch Harbor. And we knew some of our relatives, but the culture was not shared with us, which was really, really too bad.
Are you still interested in perhaps someday visiting Dutch Harbor?
Oh yes, we all would like to go visit Dutch Harbor at some point to go see.
I have a friend who's Aleut from ADAC, And he says, oh, you should go out there with me sometime, and I'd love to. I think it'd be really interesting. I went to the Festival of Native Art last year in Fairbanks. And the Aleuts put on a really great show. And they have these reeds, these plants that with seeds inside. And when they waved them, they just made clouds of these seeds as they danced.
Oh.
Yeah, it was really a neat experience. Yeah, I hope you get to experience that someday.
There's a Coven Pettigrew, Ethan Pettigrew. He works at the Cultural Center in Anchorage. And he's Aleut. He's from Adak. And he grew up here in Wrangell. And he used to dance with us, with our dance group. And he was very proud, and he was an awesome Tlingit dancer. Yeah. And then he moved up there, and he got married, and they had children, and they just thoroughly immersed themselves in the Aleut culture. And he was very proud of his Aleut culture, and became one of the most renowned dance groups, Aleut dance groups in Alaska. Mm-hmm. It was awesome to watch him.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm. Neat. But he still dances with us every once in a while.
Mm-hmm. Will you be at Celebration?
Yes.
Okay.
Are you going?
Yes. It'll be my first time. I worked for Sea Alaska Heritage for a while.
Oh.
And so I'm going back down to volunteer with them throughout the week. So I'll be helping. Yeah.
Yeah, my daughter Dixie Hutchinson, she works for Sea Alaska.
Oh, yes, I know
that's
Dixie.
That's my daughter.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I was on the second floor of the Sea Alaska building one day, and she said, you're the frog guy from Wrangell, right? I'm like, you're a Wranglelite. So we always kind of, you know, on the elevator, talked about Wrangell.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's very nice.
And then Kathy Dow? She's at the Sea Alaska Heritage Fund.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Kathy.
The media?
Yeah, the media.
Oh, cool.
She's married to my nephew.
Oh, neat. And what's his name?
Brad Fletch.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad I had the experience of working there. I got to meet so many people, you know, not just with the heritage, but because everybody's in the same building.
Mm-hmm.
So you can, meet everyone.
Yeah.
And they always... You know, a lot of the people that are in the administration there are from Klukwan, or they're Shingu KD. And so they always, pick Klukwan, first sometimes. And a lot of northern tribes got preference. So every time I could, and they were talking about grants, I said, nope, you got to include Wrangell. You got to include Wrangell. So hopefully.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I hope that works out in some way.
We can always use some extra help for boosting our Wrangell.
And there's a new program. They got an Alaska Native Education Program grant for systems with the Crossings program.
Oh.
Where they bring in Native youth from around Southeast to Wrangell in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
So we're starting a service learning project with them. They'll get to document frogs on the landscape, take pictures of them, and submit them to the database. And the kid that submits the most complete vouchers. We'll get to go to a scientific conference with me next year in New Mexico.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's pretty neat. We're working with Wrangell, Klawak, Craig, Heidelberg, and Metlakatla.
So, wow.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Trying to promote more frog people.
Well, thank you very much. We can use all help we can get.
No problem. Thank you so much. I do appreciate it. How long have they been trying to do the mining up there?
Oh, it's been for a long time.
For a decade or more?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. They were mining at least 10 years ago for gold.
Oh, they were already doing it?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. How close are they to getting the proper permits to do it again, do you know?
I don't know. It's more on the Canadian side, but whatever happens on the Canadian side, it's going to come down that river.
Right.
And it's going to affect us.
Mm-hmm. How often were you able to travel up the river?
I've been all the way up to Telegraph once with in the last, five or eight years.
Do you feel a connection with your ancestors on your father's side when you travel on the river?
Yeah, I do. Because I remember when I was growing up and going up the river with my grandparents when they would go up there to their fish camps and they were there harvesting vegetables, potatoes, and berries. I remember.
And how is the WCA working with or against the mining, do you know?
Not much yet. Not much going on. We have been in contact with the, I can't remember if it was Fish and Game or if it was a Forest Service in Petersburg that was really targeting what's going on with mining. And then there's the Tall Cans up in up the river that are come down and let us know what's going on with the mining up the river. Mm. Because they're aware of how it would affect us. And so they really feel that we should be more involved in what's going on with the mining.
Right.
And they have been in contact with us. And I'm hoping we keep that door open.
Kind of join forces, perhaps?
Uh-huh. Hmm.
And is it gold, mostly, that they're trying to get out of there?
No, there's more than gold. I think there's nickel. I'm not sure. I'm really not sure what, but I know there's mining. There's at least 100 sites that they have targeted.
Wow.
So, and it's not all just one entity that's doing it, and so it could become big.
Do you know if the Stikine Kwan is working toward land claims still?
Oh yeah, we're still. We have selected land that we would like to have as our village corporation land, but it's such a slow process. And then see, Alaska Corporation is also trying to get land back from 1971, the 40 acres that they were denied to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that there's two, you know, the village sites, the five villages that were denied, it's just appalling that the Wrangell was denied as a village.
Mm-hmm.
Because they said that we had to be at least a quarter of the population and we had to file certain paperwork within a designated time, and it wasn't done. So I didn't pointing fingers at who didn't do what.
Right. So it was Haines, Wrangell, Tenneke, Springs.
Petersburg, Ketchikan.
Petersburg and Ketchikan.
Five.
Hmm. And the Murkowski legislation, is that what's trying to add land for the villages?
Well, they're working with Sea Alaska a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The village one is kind of on the back burner.
And would you be able to select land up the river in the Tongass?
Well, we can ask for just about anything we want. Whether we get it or not is just a totally different story.
Right.
But we've selected land. 23,000 acres is what we're supposed to be getting.
Right. And some of that's along the river?
No, all the way around. All.
Oh, okay.
Not just on the river. There's Burnett Inlet and out by Kaufman. The traditional, you know, the Tlingits didn't just live on Wrangell Island.
Right.
We had summer camps, and we had camps where part of the people lived. At one time, we were the biggest, one of the biggest tribes in Alaska. And we got so big that we had to break up. And some people from our tribe went to Cake. And some people went to some of the outlying areas around here. But we were too big to all be in one group. The land couldn't sustain that many people at once. So it had to break up. And that was when we were out by Tom's lake out that way.
Yeah. Old Wrangell?
No, that was one of the places we settled after. In Old Town.
Okay.
And then from there we came here. But we were too big at one point that we had to break up. But we were settled all over, not just on Wrangell Island.
I remember looking at some of the old maps of William Paul's.
Mm-hmm.
Tihitan, is that?
Tiaton.
And there were a lot of village sites, it seemed, on Edelin Island at one point.
Mm-hmm. And up the river, all up and down the river to Annan and Burnett, all around.
Mm-hmm.
Not just right here.
Neat. Well, thank you. Again, I really do. I learn so much every time I talk to people here. And like I told Chrissy yesterday, it's really important for, you know, the work that I'm doing with frogs, but I've just grown as a person, you know, understanding the land and the culture and people and how I think about the world, you know. So, I thank you.
You're welcome.